BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
You know, as I came into the studio here today, I only have the picture of Humpty Dumpty in my mind right now. We welcome you to Crosstalk today, a Humpty Dumpty that fell off the wall and with the shell all broken. And as we observe what's happening in this world around us today, it's like we are living in this Humpty Dumpty world. I mean, it is literally breaking apart. We've got a Friday News Roundup here today on the broadcast, and we thank you for staying with us, and thanks to Sandy for providing so many stories for us here this week. But friends, again, we're living in a time when good is called evil is called good, and we're just seeing us come apart at the seams in so many different ways, and some of the stories today will help illustrate that very picture, and I just want to shout out, we need to wake up. We've got to wake up to what is happening in this world. And certainly to see that time is short. We must be ambassadors, as we heard yesterday from Richard Schmidt, ambassadors for Jesus Christ to share the good news of the gospel in such a time as this. We're going to cover a number of issues and stories here today in the program, and trust this will help keep you informed as to matters that are going on. We're going to begin with a story from WND.com today about the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention relaxing its COVID-19 guidelines, essentially giving unvaccinated people the same guidance as vaccinated people. Dr. Nicole Safer, a radiologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center and a Fox News contributor, tweeted that the recommendations no longer differentiate based on a person's vaccination status, acknowledging breakthrough infections are common and taking natural immunity into consideration. Stanford epidemiologist Dr. Jay Bhattacharya said that with the new guidelines, the CDC has taken a substantive step toward ending lockdown by stealth, dismantling vax segregation and discrimination, and eliminating unnecessary disruptions in the lives of kids this school year. NPR summarized the new guidelines as this: those exposed to the virus are no longer required to quarantine. Unvaccinated people now have the same guidance as vaccinated people. Students can stay in class after being exposed to the virus. It's no longer recommended to screen those without symptoms. People no longer need to stay at least 6 feet away from each other. Isn't it interesting how the science is changing? We follow the science. How did we all of a sudden find that these things are not working? WND.com also reports with the new CDC guidelines that essentially acknowledge people who are vaccinated are not protected from the infection from COVID-19. Attorneys who have filed lawsuits on behalf of military members, students, healthcare workers, and others argue that there's no longer a case for mandates. This implies that mandates based on a two-dose vaccination are now useless, and the case for booster mandates is not much stronger. Yale University, epidemiologist Harvey Reich wrote last Friday on his Telegram channel, "This was the only potential compelling interest in vaccine mandates." Attorney Jenin Yannis of the New Civil Liberties Alliance said in an email that the defendants in natural immunity lawsuits will argue the new CDC guidance makes their lawsuits moot. However, because we argued that their constitutional rights were already violated and we are seeking a recognition of that going forward, the court should not dismiss the appeals or cases still pending in lower courts on mootness grounds, she wrote. Attorney R. Davis Younts told Just the News that the new CDC guidance won't change military mandates, but absolutely should. Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel told Just the News, "It seems like every day the FDA or the CDC or some report continues to confirm what we've been saying, that there's no reason for these shots to be mandatory." And a victory for Liberty Counsel. This breaking news here today, the U.S. District Court of Florida has provided class action relief and granted a class-wide preliminary injunction from the unlawful federal COVID shot mandate on behalf of those who are in active or reserve service in the United States Marine Corps. Liberty Counsel sued Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and pursued this class action relief on behalf of all U.S. Marines who were denied religious accommodations from the COVID shots, which are associated with aborted fetal cells. U.S. District Judge Stephen Merriday has now issued the injunction against the Department of Defense and the U.S. Marine Corps. He's got a lengthy press release. You'd be able to find it at lc.org, lc.org. Also from WND.com, an analysis of internal documents found 44% of the pregnant women who participated in the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine trials suffered miscarriages. 44%. The documents obtained by court order after the FDA tried to keep them hidden for 75 years showed that of the 50 pregnant women who took part, 22 lost their babies. Upon the release of the documents, author and journalist Naomi Wolf recruited researchers to begin analyzing the documents that she posted on her website, Daily Clout. She said in an interview Monday with Steve Bannon on War Room that Pfizer tried to bury the startling data on miscarriages. Pfizer took those deaths of babies, those spontaneous abortions and miscarriages, and recategorized them as recovery-resolved adverse effects, she said. Kind of like a headache. You get over it. The threat was revealed in the trials, yet the FDA went ahead with urging pregnant women to get the experimental shots that were issued through emergency use authorization. From LifeNews.com, California's 6th District Court of Appeals decided Monday to free a church in San Jose from well over $100,000 in fines for breaking COVID-19 rules. But Santa Clara County continues trying to separately charge the church over $2 million in penalties, according to the Associated Press. Overturning lower court decisions, the state court referenced the U.S. Supreme Court's religious freedom-based February 2021 takedown of the Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom's May 2020 ban on indoor worship gatherings in select counties. Calvary Chapel San Jose and its leaders had been held in contempt of court, fined a combined $190,000 before this year for eschewing state and local indoor public gathering limits, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. We understand penalties against the church were totaling $2.3 million, and we understand that the county is still pursuing action there. WND.com tells us when this COVID-19 vaccine was rolled out, the CEO of Pfizer touted a South Africa trial he said was evidence that the shots would be 100% effective, 100% effective in preventing infection. On Monday, however, he tested positive for COVID-19 after receiving four doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Also on Monday, Lloyd Austin, the Department of Defense Secretary, tested positive, as has First Lady Jill Biden. The Gateway Pundit tells us as time goes by, the death toll among Canada's medical professional is rising. The professionals there, another Canadian doctor, Dr. Ryan Biting, a neurosurgery resident at Alberta Health Services, 26 years old, passed away July 26, according to his family. Dr. William Makis, medical doctor, cancer researcher at University of Alberta and nuclear medicine physician employed at the Cross Cancer Institute by Alberta Health Services, said that Canadian medical schools require all medical students and residents to be fully vaccinated to be able to continue their education. I've stated before that these responsible, including deans of faculty of medicine, should be facing criminal charges and long prison sentences, he added. On July 18th, AHS published a news release saying that they will no longer require COVID-19 immunization as condition of employment. Within the past 2 weeks, Canada has received news of seven deaths of physicians. Matter of fact, coming from KUSI News and the vaccine reaction, U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelmingly and unexplainable increase in all deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds. Along with that, there's also been an increase in certain medical diagnoses, such as miscarriages and Bell's palsy. There was an alarming increase in certain things. For example, they saw a 270% increase in myocardial infarction in 2021, a 300% increase in incidence in Bell's palsy, and of certain neurologic complaints, a 470% increase in pulmonary embolism, blood clots to the lungs, and many, many other huge increases that they found alarming. No one is saying with any certainty what is causing this. Interesting indeed. From LifeSiteNews.com, Germany Their German health minister has announced that the nation's digital contact tracing and vaccine passport app, Corona Warn App, CWA, will start assigning different colors to citizens based on whether they received a COVID-19 shot within the last 3 months. The CWA will assign one color to citizens who add proof that they received a vaccine within the last 3 months, a different color to citizens who add proof of vax that more than 3 months old. Only those with the color showing that they're freshly vaccinated will be exempt from Germany's mask requirement in public indoor spaces. Now, what's interesting that they are saying that the goalposts, though, could shift at any time, and that if too many freshly vaccinated people make use of the mask exception, Germany will change the rules and close the exception. Lauterbach, who is quadruple vaccinated, announced this new color code vaccine passport system 4 days after he contracted COVID. Well, it's not only COVID, but monkeypox as well. I'm looking here at the Epoch Times. Dr. Saeed Haider told the Epoch Times that the development of the monkeypox outbreak seems identical to the way COVID-19 was introduced to the world. Prior to the 2022 outbreak, cases of monkeypox in humans had been reported in several Central African and West African countries. However, nearly all cases outside of Africa were linked to international travel. About a year after the COVID-19 outbreak, Haider said he learned about Event 201, a tabletop exercise conducted a few months before the COVID began to spread. Haider explained they followed the recommendations that were developed during their tabletop exercise in terms of lockdowns and masks and had to deal with misinformation online. They addressed all these topics. Haider noted that in March of 2021, before the current monkeypox outbreak, there was another tabletop exercise hosted by the Nuclear Threat Initiative and the Munich Security Conference. This time it was for a strange variant of monkeypox. Folks, we talked about this earlier. Monkeypox, it was hypothetically bioengineered and released to the world on May 15th, 2022. Well, that was their tabletop exercise. The bizarre thing is that the actual outbreak started within a day or two of the date predicted in the tabletop exercise, Haider said. It's an unusual variant. We've never had a variant of monkeypox that primarily spreads between gay men, he said. He said there are other signs that lead them to believe that the current strain of monkeypox was engineered. That's his words, not mine. CNN Politics reporting top Biden administration officials announced new steps yesterday to accelerate. I'm sorry, this is last week to accelerate the U.S. response to the spread of monkeypox. That includes boosting supply an additional 1.8 million doses of the monkeypox vaccine and accelerating the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services vaccine distribution timeline. And Western Journal reporting that a dog infected with monkeypox by a non-monogamous gay couple, one of whom is HIV positive. This is the first suspected case of human-to-pet transmission of the virus, according to the medical journal The Lancet. The couple's four-year-old male greyhound began suffering lesions after contracting monkeypox from its owners. The homosexual couple slept in the same bed with their dog. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Troubling news coming from around the world, back here in just a minute. But always remember this, our God is in control. What he has previously ordained will come to pass. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, another heavy question. Is it true that some evolutionists actually claim that there's an evolutionary justification for rape?
Yes, indeed, Chris. As disgusting and far-fetched as it may sound, evolutionists claim that rape has its basis in evolutionary survival of the fittest. In evolution, the two main goals are survival and reproduction. That organism which can reproduce the most, pass its genes on to the greatest extent, is the one that's most fit. Thus, rape has its justification. If man is an evolved animal, this must be right for us too. But Chris, animal behavior should not be the model for human behavior. Humans were created in the image of God and are obliged to abide by His law. His design was one man for one woman for life, and that back to Genesis truth is the only one that will work.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk. We thank you for tuning in to the VCY America Network. One more story here on the monkeypox issue. I don't have time to play the clip of her, but it's amazing. This is CDC Director Rochelle Walensky at a news conference here yesterday, saying as of August 17th, over 39,000 cases of monkeypox have been detected globally in 94 countries. Here in the United States, there have been over 13,500 cases of monkeypox identified across 49 states, as well as Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. Monkeypox case data reported the CDC show that 98% of cases are occurring in men, she said. 93% of the cases were among men who reported recent sexual contact with other men. So they're launching a pilot program that will provide additional vaccine to state and local health departments whose jurisdictions host events that draw a majority of people with MSM community. That's men having sex with men. Jurisdictions hosting these events can request to receive additional vaccine allocations based on the size and nature of the event and ability to reach attendees who are the highest risk. This is insane. This is outrageous. Whatever happened about shutting down these high-risk events? According to Walensky, CDC will publish a toolkit for health departments to assist with planning of these large events that are intended to attract people most at risk for monkeypox. The events are important opportunities. I'm quoting from her. These events are important opportunities for people to connect with their community and to enjoy themselves. And they're also a chance to provide public health messages and resources to otherwise hard-to-reach populations. That includes providing safer sex guidelines that empowers people to make choices that can help them avoid monkeypox exposure, including temporarily limiting sexual partners and messages about monkeypox symptoms and vaccines. She said, now, I want to emphasize that while we're offering the vaccine at these events to those at high risk, this is a two-dose vaccine series, and receiving the vaccine at these events will not provide protection at the event itself. According to the White House fact sheet, the large events envisioned by CDC must attract gay, bisexual men. I mean, they're working right now with North Carolina to develop a plan to administer vaccines during the Charlotte Pride Festival and Parade that's taking place this weekend, August 20th and 21st. The administration will support North Carolina with up to 2,000 additional doses by replenishing their stock of vaccine with the number of doses administered during these events. How is it that these are considered essential? Why is it churches were shut down? Why were churches shut down? And these homosexual festivals are allowed to go on? LifeSiteNews.com tells us that the top-rated pediatric medical institution, Boston Children's Hospital, has come under fire for a now-viral video in which a cheerful obstetrician glibly promoted the surgical mutilation of young women via gender-affirming surgery. Now, the video has since been removed, but BCH obstetrician gynecologist Dr. Francis Grimstead smilingly described how physicians perform elective gender-affirming hysterectomies. This is, folks, at a children's hospital. A gender-affirming hysterectomy is very similar to most hysterectomies that occur, Grimstead said in the video. Well, it's unclear whether Boston Children's Hospital performs the gender-affirming hysterectomies on minors or only on those ages 18 and up. The Daily Wire podcaster Matt Walsh said, we have reached a level of barbarism truly unprecedented in the entire history of the human race. A pediatric hospital, a children's hospital, pushing out this video on hysterectomies? Washington Examiner reports a magistrate judge will unseal further Justice Department records related to the FBI's unprecedented raid of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Although how much of the affidavit itself will be made public still remains unknown. This is Judge Bruce Reinhart, and we understand he's given the opportunity to the FBI to redact information, and then he'll be making the final decision. Okay, we won't go further into that at this point. Oh, this is interesting from the New York Post. Wyoming GOP Representative Liz Cheney, her husband being a partner at the law firm that's now representing Hunter Biden. Philip Perry has worked at Latham & Watkins since 2007 and focuses on white-collar crime cases, white-collar cases, commercial and Supreme Court litigation, according to his company's biography. Another Latham partner, Chris Clark, has been representing Hunter Biden since December of 2020, but Cheney's husband's involvement at the firm had not been previously known. Interesting. Latham is a Democratic powerhouse with company attorneys and other employees donating more than $500,000 to President Biden's 2020 campaign, FEC's records show. Clark himself ponied up some $3,800. His work for the First Son is prominently displayed on his company profile, which notes his representation of Hunter in a grand jury investigation regarding tax issues. That story and the New York Post. Coming from the New American and a major step toward implementing his leftist Build Back Better agenda, Joe Biden signed the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 into law on Tuesday. The bill, H.R. 5376, passed the House and Senate, strictly along party lines. During the signing ceremony, Biden described this new act as one of the most significant laws in our history. When describing its provisions, he stated it spends $369 billion to make the most aggressive action ever in confronting the climate crisis. An examination of the act's provisions confirms it will implement multiple radical leftist policies that will significantly expand the federal government while leading to increased taxes. Things like $80 billion in IRS funding, including to hire up to 87,000 new agents, $369 billion in leftist climate change programs, raising fee rates on energy production on public lands, raising income taxes for Americans of nearly every income level, raising taxes on small and medium-sized businesses, subsidizing electric cars made in Canada and Mexico, implementing International Organization for Economic Cooperation Development's 15% global minimum tax proposal, a major step toward world government. Real Science, Climate Science, has just an amazing article. Matter of fact, it's somewhere near 14 pages. But they go through and document 1,500 years of heat waves. Now, yes, we're having a heat wave, and we've had hot temperatures. I was just down in some of the southern states last week, and some very warm temperatures, very hot temperatures. But they document, and so we're told that this is man-made climate change, and that's what's causing it. But they go through and they document back for many, many hundreds of years. And the year 627, the heat was so great in France and Germany. I'm reading from their article at the Real Climate Science. It says the London Standard that all springs dried up. Water became so scarce that many died of thirst. In 879, work in the field had to be given up. Agricultural laborers persisting in their work were struck down in a few minutes. So powerful was the sun. In 993, the sun's rays were so fierce that vegetation burned up as under the action of fire. In the year 1000, they report, rivers ran dry under the protracted heat. The fish were left dry in heaps and putrefied in a few hours. Men and animals venturing in the sun in the summer of 1022 fell down dying. In 1132, not only did rivers dry up, but the ground cracked and became baked to the hardness of stone. Talk about various rivers that were dried up, like the Rhine and the Seine in 1303 and 1304. 1615, the heat through Europe became excessive. Scotland suffered particularly in 1625. Man and beast died in scores. Meat could be cooked by merely exposing it to the sun. In the year 1718, many shops had to be closed. Theaters never opened for several months. Not a drop of water fell during 6 months. In 1753, the thermometer rose to 118 degrees. And so it goes through and documented. In Paris in 1846, thermometer marked 125 degrees in the sun. It goes through and documents it. And so, yes, the heat wave. Folks, it's happened before, and we need to understand that as well. Let's get to the state of Kansas. You've heard the term follow the money. As Kansans for Life Kansas went to the ballot to vote on this Protect Them Both amendment, Kansas for Life released a statement in response to the over $4 million additional funds that Kansas for Constitutional Freedom received in the last weeks leading to the August 2nd election. The funds totaled over $4 million to defeat that amendment. It included, they report, $1.25 million from Michael Bloomberg, $25,000 from Steven Spielberg, $300,000 from NARAL, $125,000 from the Center for Reproductive Rights. The No Campaign's most recent campaign finance report is a who's who of out-of-state liberal elites and shows the length that they were willing to go in order to keep Kansas a haven for extreme practices like live dismemberment abortion. That release coming from Kansans for Life that was issued yesterday afternoon. Okay, let's go to Western Journal. We find that a federal judge yesterday issued a permanent injunction that will allow new oil and gas leases on federal lands. The ruling by Judge Terry Daughtry of the Western District of Louisiana came one day after the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals had kicked back his injunction that issued last year to accomplish the same goal. His ruling permanently blocks a January 2021 executive order from President Joe Biden that halted lease sales on federal lands. It applies to Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia, all of which sued President Biden. Daughtry was appointed by former President Donald Trump, ruled that the Biden January 2021 order violated the Mineral Leasing Act and Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act by leaving Congress out of the loop. Breitbart reporting grocery store inflation rises to its highest since 1979. Price of food jumping 1.3% higher than the month earlier. Over the past 12 months, grocery prices up 13.1%. I know you felt the pinch. I have felt the pinch. Our family has felt the pinch. Some of the biggest increases in food include breakfast cereal up 16.4% from a year ago. All of these from a year ago. Bread up 13.7%. Ground beef 9.7%. Breakfast sausage 15.7%. Chicken 17.6%. Milk 15.6%. Cheese 12.6%. Ice cream, oh, one of my favorites, 11.3%. Fruit and vegetable 9.3%. Coffee up 20.3% over a year ago. Butter 22.2%. Coming from Yahoo Finance, the average American shelling out an extra $717 a month because of the hottest inflation in decades, according to new analysis from the Joint Economic Committee Republicans. The financial squeeze stems from the rising cost of everyday goods, cars, rent, food, health care. So what do we do? Let's go eat bugs. I'm serious, folks. This is a story that just came out from LifeSiteNews.com, a recent video released by Business Insider, highlighted the farming of crickets for human consumption, echoing ongoing calls from environmentalists hoping to save the planet by replacing beef with bugs in the American diet. Posted on Twitter, the seven-minute video gives a glimpse into the work undertaken at Canada's Edamo Farms. According to them, raising some 50 million crickets per week that they're harvesting for human consumption. They're raising crickets, grinding down into a powder that can be used like flour. You can also snack on them like whole chips. And also, they are saying that they are hoping to triple production of the crunchy insects within the year. Now, keep in mind, they're right now harvesting 50 million crickets per week, and they want to triple that. Cricket-infused snack foods have already hit the shelves of Canadian supermarkets. The company's Cheddar Jalapeno Puffs, the mostly corn-based list, organic cricket flour on the ingredient list. I'm going to have a little bit more on that right after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Part of the Thief in the Night series, here is a clip from A Distant Thunder.
Your right hand, please. That trick, young woman, is used in here 50 times a day. Now, if you want your child cared for, you must have your ID.
I can't take the morgue. My baby is dying.
The Thief in the Night four-part prophecy DVD set is available from VCY America as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $25 or more. The set includes A Thief in the Night, A Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, and Prodigal Planet. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829 or order online at vcyamerica.org.
Oh, friends, as I mentioned, it's like Humpty Dumpty. I mean, the pieces of the shell are falling apart, and certainly we need to be in prayer for our country and this world as a whole as well. And that really begins individually in our hearts, does it not? And corporately in our churches. And I just want to remind you that coming up 1 week from tomorrow, on Saturday, August 27th, we're going to be holding a day of prayer at the facilities at Trail Ridge Camp. It's located just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin. Starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, we're going to let you go at 2:30 in the afternoon, but we're going to spend significant time in prayer for the state of the family, the state of the church, the state of our nation, and we invite you to be a part of this. There's no cost. A free will offering will be taken to cover the cost of the noon lunch. It's just not going to be a big fancy meal, but we'll give you some food there. But it's taking place on Saturday, the 27th. The final day to register, and they need you to register so that certainly they can have food prepared for the lunch. Just go to trailridge.org, trailridge.org, and be a part of this day of prayer here for our nation. We've got elections coming up. It's critically important. We'll be praying for these elections as well. Well, friends, we were just talking about this organic cricket flour on the ingredient list of these cheddar jalapeno puffs. Did you know in 2021, Great Reset author Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum argued that we need to give insects the role they deserve in our food system? That's right. Again, that's in the article from LifeSiteNews.com. Microsoft founder Bill Gates, also, who's considered the largest private owner of farmland in the United States, and in 2019 invested $100,000 into an insect farming startup, stated that all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. Also, there's a British writer, George Monbiot, and environmental activist. He told the Irish state-funded media outlet RTE last month that agriculture destroys habitats and one of the leading causes of climate breakdown and pollutes the air and water, and saying we need to switch toward other sources of food, arguing that eating meat and milk and eggs is an indulgence that we cannot afford. Well, this cricket farm is planning to increase by threefold. There are 50 million crickets per week harvest. I guess that would put it about 150 million per week. Daily Caller telling us that Ford has raised the price of the electric truck by up to $8,500. Right? They just passed this Inflation Reduction Act, and we're going to help the American consumer. We're going to help the American people. You're going to get $7,500 as a tax credit if you buy an electric vehicle. Guess what? They just raised the prices. Yeah, for a electric truck. What is it? The base model, 2023 F-150 Lightning pickup will now cost $47,000, up from its original base of $40,000. That one's up $7,000. More expensive models like the XLT High Extended Range and the Lariat Extended Range have increased the price by $8,500. Some of them $6,000 to $7,000. Isn't that something? Thank you, Congress, for that Inflation Reduction Act credit. Daily Signal reporting, a senator from Alabama sounding the alarm that the Chinese Communist Party is trying to overtake the U.S. not only militarily, but economically, as Beijing continues to purchase U.S. land. The problem is they're not just trying to take us over militarily. They're trying to get real involved economically in our country, said Tommy Tuberville. He's a senator from Alabama. He was on interviewing by the Daily Signal. He said over the last decade, China has increased the amount of farmland purchases by about an astronomical amount. The Chinese Communist Party has purchased hundreds of thousands of acres of U.S. land since 2010. It acquired 352,140 acres of U.S. land through the end of 2020, a report by the Heritage Foundation said. Tuberville, who recently introduced the Securing America's Land from Foreign Interference Act with Senator Tom Cotton, called for an end to China's ability to purchase U.S. land because it poses a national security threat. The Gatestone Institute tells us the Harvard Belfour Center report, The Great Economic Rivalry, China versus the U.S., predicts that at the current rate, China will overtake the U.S. economically within a decade. When it comes to trade, China has now displaced the U.S. When this century began, China was knocking on the door of the World Trade Organization, and the U.S. was a leading trading partner of most major economies. Today, China has overtaken the U.S. to become the largest trading partner for nearly every major nation, and that was by 2018. 130 countries traded more with China than they did with the U.S. Today, the U.S. is the world's largest debtor nation, China the largest creditor nation. When it comes to manufacturing, China already displaced the U.S. a decade ago. China is now the world's largest manufacturer and exporter of scores of essential goods, including 90% of refined rare earth minerals, 80% of solar panels, 50% of computers, 45% of electric vehicles. In 2013, the U.S. was the number one top innovative country, according to the Bloomberg Innovation Index, but by 2020, it was not even in the top 10. China's laser-like focus on frontier technologies has positioned it to dominate races like 5G and AI in the future. China is determined to see the development to its goal of becoming the dominant power in the world by the year 2049. The Center Square reporting, since President Joe Biden took office, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas altered federal immigration policies. Roughly 5 million people from over 150 countries have entered the U.S. illegally. 3.9 million who have been apprehended entering the U.S. illegally nationwide, 3.4 million at the southern border, also included a minimum of 900,000 gotaways, those who've intentionally entered the U.S. illegally, evaded law enforcement, who haven't made asylum or immigration claims. Number of gotaways is essentially higher than what is reported, believed to be over 1 million. July's numbers of roughly 200,000 officially reported, but believed to be over 256,000, according to Border Patrol sources, was the 17th consecutive month of more than 150,000 people being encountered at the southern border. And CNN News also picks up on this, saying that the number of times that the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents encountered Russian nationals at this border, it was just one person in July of 2020. In July of 2022, 1,965. Also, it's interesting that Border Patrol encounters with Russians at the Mexican border began climbing in early 2021, a year before their invasion of Ukraine that began on February 24th of 2022. Western Journal reporting that Arizona Governor Ducey announced his state has begun filling in the gaps of U.S.-Mexico border wall. They're taking these boxcars, stacking them on top of one another. There's been some vandalism, a couple of them toppled, but they are doing something. The federal government's not acting. They are. Let's see, Daily Mail is reporting a luxury hotel in the center of Manhattan set up to become a hub for housing asylum-seeking migrants who have been bused in from Texas. The Row, based near a tourist-packed Times Square, becoming a shelter for as many as 600 migrant families in news that was first reported by the New York Post. The plush hotel is understood to be working with Mayor Adams to convert part of the hotel, where rooms can cost more than $400 a night, turning them into a intake center. CNSNews.com reporting, for the first time in 4 years, Chinese troops will go to Russia to take part in joint military exercises beginning August 30th, running through September 5th. Exercises include India, Belarus, Mongolia, Tajikistan, and other countries, China's defense ministry said on Wednesday. Also of note, Senator Tom Cotton said, just like Vladimir Putin did in Ukraine, just like China has started now in the last month running all of these war games around Taiwan shores. Yahoo News reporting, President Putin of Russia told North Korean Kim Jong-un, the leader there, that he will expand the comprehensive and constructive bilateral relations with common efforts. This is a letter to Kim for Korea's Liberation Day. Putin said closer ties would be in both countries' interests, would help strengthen the security and stability of the Korean Peninsula and the Northeast Asia region. So what do we have? We've got Russia. We've got China. We've got North Korea coming into this. Also, Belarus, Mongolia, Tajikistan. I wonder what the future of these armies is going to hold. Daily Caller is reporting TikTok, social media giant with ties to the Chinese Communist Party, announced Wednesday it's partnering with a U.S. government organization and ramping up efforts to combat harmful misinformation on the app in preparation for the November midterm elections. A platform said it may ban users who post content that spreads misinformation about how to vote or threaten election officials. It will also partner with Federal Voting Assistance Programs, a U.S. government organization that assists overseas voters, according to a company press release. TikTok is also launching an in-app election center to inform its users of voting information. It's working alongside non-governmental voter assistance organizations that target specific demographics. Isn't that just so assuring that the Communist Party is with ties to the TikTok is going to crack down on election misinformation, partnering with the U.S. Okay, Washington Times telling us they're at it again. Two of the leading platforms responsible for censoring the New York Post's bombshell Hunter Biden scandal stories before the 2020 presidential election, gearing up to censor free speech to combat the so-called misinformation ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. But there's no election fraud, is there? Let's go right now to the Western Journal. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced yesterday the state of Florida has charged and in the process of arresting 20 individuals across the state for voter fraud. Okay. Oh, the post office is helping us out, though. U.S. Postal Service announced July 28th, creating the Election and Government Mail Services Division. This is going to be processing all the, with the growing use of mail-in ballots, requires extra attention to ensure the greater volume of mailed ballots can be handled by an increasing overburdened postal system. Okay, let's go to Texas. This is from the Christian Post. The Texas comptroller said the state has opened an investigation into a Dallas bar that held a drag show for children earlier this summer. In a statement released, Texas comptroller Glenn Heger identified himself as one of the many Texas parents who found themselves disturbed by the recent images showing children participating in a drag show in the Dallas area, including one of a child placing money in a performer's undergarment. The drag show in question was dubbed a family-friendly pride experience called Drag the Kids to Pride, taking place at Mr. Bar in Dallas on June the 4th. Fox News is reporting a Texas Child Protective Service employee lost her job after allegedly telling a 14-year-old girl to become a prostitute. Fargo, North Dakota, Board of Education there, Fox News reports, voted Tuesday to no longer recite the Pledge of Allegiance before board meetings. Guess what? It's because of those two words, under God. It's not inclusive enough. School board says we've got to get rid of this. Isn't that something? And Texas School District, from Todd Starnes, Bibles pulled from library shelves in one Texas school district. Dallas-Fort Worth Metro, part of the new Keller Independent School District Board of Trustees policy, removing any books that had been challenged last year. Jennifer Price, the district's executive director of curriculum and instruction, sent an email to principals. The Dallas Morning News reported, by the end of today, I need all these books pulled from the library and classrooms. Once that's been completed, email me a confirmation. The Bible included. The band material includes an adaptation of Anne Frank's diary, listed the good book as the Bible, or on the district's website. And then we wonder why we have problems in this nation. Hey, we'll be back in just a minute. Hey, let's open some phone lines. Time's almost up. 800-733-9829. If you want to comment on these or other current event news, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Last week, Salman Rushdie was stabbed 10 to 15 times and barely survived. Many know him as a fictional writer writing a book that, well, many say in the Islamic world insulted Muhammad and the Quran. For that, a fatwa was put on his head in 1989, and reportedly, Iran never let him forget. They were sure to mail him a card, a letter, every year reminding him they had not forgotten about him. Well, it took from 1989 to 2022, but now it's reported that the man that stabbed him swears an allegiance and loyalty to the head of Iran. Where is the media telling you about this? Oh, and another story. All the Muslims that were dying in New Mexico by a supposed Islamophobic individual turns out to be another Muslim. The media is not telling the American people the truth about either one of these stories, but we are, and that's why this network is so important. I'm Brennan House.
Well, look at my stack of papers that Sandy provided me. I've got at least another hour of content. I look at the clock, and we're in our final segment. So we'd like to hear from you as well on these issues today on Crosstalk. Let's begin in West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I want to touch on that judge who told the FBI to come up with the warrant and then told them they could redact on it first.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. He's protecting the liars in the FBI, which we know they're liars, the way they behaved during the Russia collusion hoax. Submission of whatever they call it, application for a warrant, doesn't contain sensitive information like that. It would just say that there is or could be sensitive information in the documents sought after. If it were true, after this raid that took place, we'd know about it by now.
Yeah, indeed.
And
it's a fishing expedition, Brad.
That's just what I was going to say next. They're looking for anything they can. You know what? Maybe they can call up Adam Schiff, and he can go and say something like, "We've got the evidence," over and over and over again, like he did during it was either the Russia hoax or the first impeachment.
Yep.
He kept saying it and saying it and saying it and never showing it,
right?
Ever. So.
Great.
What a ridiculous allowance that judge gave them.
Thank you. And we'll see what happens next week. I mean, the FBI didn't even want for him to go that far. So I think he's going to make decisions on what's going to be redacted. And I'm not too optimistic, though, in the process.
Yeah, me either.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to George, Olney, Illinois. You're on the air.
Yes, I was going to make a comment. That sounds like a good idea with those cargo containers, but really and truly, somebody's going to dig a tunnel to them, open them up, and make hideouts in them, and that's going to be like a rat's nest in a wood pile, as Brandon says.
Yeah, I think, and I couldn't read through the whole story, but they're talking about, you know, welding doors shut and doing things. But yeah, you're right. You know, digging underneath and going around. If there's a will, there's a way. But at least we have a governor who's concerned about his state and concerned about his borders and doing something while the Biden administration is sleeping as to what happens at the borders. I mean, I just saw in one state where the National Guard had went and locked a gate that had been opened. And the Biden Border Patrol then went and unlocked the gate to allow illegals into the country. It's, you know, this. At least we've got a governor who's doing something. Thanks for the call. Shelley in Cookeville, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on how ridiculous the CCP and the TikTok voting disinformation is. When after the Taiwan situation, they quit working with us on certain military things and stuff like that, but they're really going to help us out with our voting.
Yeah, really going to help us out. Yeah, and what we know to be truth is often classified as being disinformation.
Yes.
Thanks for the call, Shelley. Robert, also calling from Arizona. You're on the air.
Yes, as an American, as a people, we have to band together and seek the Lord in prayer. We have to pray for God to intercede and fight for America once again. We need to, like the Second Chronicles 7:14 talks about, humility and humbling ourselves and turning away from our wicked ways. And
yes,
we need to do this for God's help.
Yeah,
you know, to help us. We got China buying our land. The states have enough resources to build the wall, finish the wall. It's a no-brainer. Just finish building the wall and do what the law says under the Constitution and our Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you so much for your observation. I totally agree on the matter of prayer and the need for confession in prayer. And matter of fact, when we have our day of prayer coming up just a week from Saturday, we're going to begin with that aspect of confession. The sins of a nation are so evident right before us. So thank you for raising that observation. Leroy is calling next from Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Yeah, I wanted to comment on the CDC's new guidelines for crowd control. I think it's quite telling that what they claim is they knew that monkeypox was spread in the confused community back in May. I have my doubts about that because I believe they are using attaching monkeypox to that community to stigmatize both them and any of us who would just try and have a level-headed conversation about it. And if they care so much, where were those guidelines then? You're doing it now,
yeah.
Not then, when you knew before Pride, a whole Pride month happened.
Yeah.
And what, the CDC is here to protect us? Yeah, I think not.
Thank you for the call. And the problem with this, too, is that they're very concerned that there be any stigmatization against those who are betraying their bodies in using them in ways never designed biologically or divinely in that regard, but doing much to do that. And so they're even making great efforts to work with governmental bodies and how to best accommodate rather than to stop such matters from going on. We have Roscoe calling next from West Virginia. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you knew the name of the judge that swore out the affidavit for the search warrant at the Trump House, and if you knew where he was originally, how he got appointed to the, his position.
Yeah, you know, I've got his name. I don't have the full background to him, though, but this is Judge Bruce Reinhart, R-E-I-N-H-A-R-T. He's the one who signed the August 5th warrant.
He got appointed underneath the Barack Obama presidency. So how the, you know, Joe Biden acts like he didn't know nothing about it, but this was all in the woodworks of the old buddy system going on. And he was actually Jeffrey Epstein's personal attorney before he got appointed by Barack Obama as the judge.
Well, there's many, many connections, and it's very troubling to see. I mean, even as we see the connection here with the Hunter Biden representation as well, the spider's web connects to many different sources. Thank you for the call here, Roscoe. We apologize. We're down to 5 seconds. We've run out of time for additional callers here on the program today, but folks, we're living in troublesome times, are we not? Don't lose hope. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But keep your eyes firmly fixed on the Lord Jesus in such time as this. And let's be salt in this world, having that impact. And let's be light and sharing the good news of the gospel in such a time as this. By the way, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I hope you're going to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church this coming Lord's Day. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.